Good morning. It's 16 minutes after 8 a.m. You're listening to Raven Radio, your community radio station. And joining me in the studio, I have Clarence Antioquia. He's here because he's a presenter at this year's Paths Across the Pacific Conference. Welcome to Morning Edition, Clarence.
Well, thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Well, you're going to be talking at 10:30 a.m. today about growing up in the village. Let's talk a little bit about growing up in the village, if you don't mind. Where exactly did you grow up? On Back Street or Front Street?
Our home was almost exactly across the street from the Conway Dock. We had a huge home there.
And so that would be on current day Kentland Street.
Yes.
Yeah, called Front Street back
right.
then.
Front Street and Back Street.
Exactly. Well, we still have Back Street, and now we have Kentland Street. Mm-hmm. And you grew up in Sitka. You graduated from Sitka High, and then where did your life take you?
Well, our basketball coach at the time was Bill Marsh, and in the summer he had a summer job with the U.S. Weather Service and had a connection with the Coast and Geodetic Survey. Anyway, they had survey ships. And when the ships came in and talked to him and said, we need some crew members. Do you have any high school kids that you can recommend? And he recommended me and one other friend of mine that went to Mount Edgecombe High School, Nick Lestenkoff. So the two of us were hired, and the day after high school, we flew down to Edna Bay and joined the ship.
And eventually, your journey ultimately took you to Juneau as Area Regional Director for the Bureau of Indian Affairs.
Yes. Well, I stayed with the Coast and Geodetic Survey about 4 years, and then fell in love and decided to get married, and I felt that it would not be a good place to raise a family being going to sea, so I decided to find a job on the beach, as we called it. And I came to Alaska with my meager savings to find a job and searched all around. And I went home very dejected. I didn't have a job and spent all my meager funds. And finally started getting some offers back from the trip. So I took the offer from the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And that's when I started with the Bureau.
And you've been retired for about 15 years now.
That's correct, yes.
And you just moved back to Juneau a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Well, Nancy Yaw Davis approached you and asked if you would speak about life in the village way back when you mm-hmm. were growing up. What did you think when she asked you about that?
Yes, that was, I was thinking about that when driving through the village and what kinds of things would be of interest, but also what did I do, you know, and how did I grow up here? And so what I'll be talking about is what the conditions were here and what we did for activities. Mostly when I was a kid, we played outside pretty much unsupervised and just made our own entertainment, if you will. I'll talk about the playing on the beach and playing baseball in the streets and things like that, eventually getting to play basketball and behind the school that just across the street there from here, and eventually get to the point where I talk about how did I earn money, and I'll start with first of all. Looking on the beach for Coke bottles. That was, you used to be able to get a nickel apiece for those on the refund. And then selling newspapers and in the spring cutting halibut cheeks on the Sitka Cold Storage and snagging herring and smelt and selling them to families, things like that. Eventually, I was able to get some real jobs in town. I mean, when I was a kid, worked at the 5 and 10. bowling alley, setting pins in a bowling alley, things like that.
And you did a lot of subsistence hunting and gathering and fishing, didn't you? You did a lot of subsistence hunting and gathering and fishing.
Yes, actually, did not so much hunting at that time. And of course, I was just a kid, but picked berries, dug clams and cockles, and gathered all kinds of foods, you know. And when I was a kid, I'd go to the float and scrape king salmon backbones with a tablespoon and a pot and scrape the meat and take it home. And my grandma and sister would make fish patties with that, and that was good. And bring back heads and things like that. And so a lot of those things were very special kinds of foods for us.
You know, when you come back to visit in Sitka, what do you notice? There's a lot that's different. What do you notice that's different? But also, what do you notice that maybe is the same or similar to the way the community was when you were growing up?
Of course, there's a lot more building that's gone on since I lived here. The streets that I used to go to are now had a lot of businesses and residences that I wasn't... that weren't there when I was a kid. But in terms of what is the same, Sitka's always been such a friendly community, and it still is. And I just always feel so comfortable being here. The people are genuinely interested in who you are and what you're doing, and it just make you feel at home.
You know, when you think back on coming up here in the village, what do you think were some of the core values and concepts that you took away from that experience that really you have carried with you throughout your life that inform who you are now?
I think caring and sharing is putting it as simply as I can. People cared for each other. We shared shared foods. So, you know, when it came time for the herring eggs gathering, we always got our share from people, getting dry fish from other people. It was kind of a sharing kind of a community. People took care of each other and really seriously, sincerely cared for each other.
You know, the paths across the Pacific Conference is all about human migrations across and around the Pacific and how the Americas might have been visited for thousands and thousands of years by ocean-going folks. Mm-hmm. And I think that hearing about your experiences growing up in here on the edge of the Pacific can add a human dimension to what we've inherited from those first very early ocean-going explorers.
Yeah, so, and I've been fascinated in listening to some of the presentations because, like I say, it's all been new to me. But in fact, when you think about even my own family, my father was Filipino. And he came from the Philippines when he's 15 years old. Came on a tramp steamer, went through China and Japan, and took 2 months to get to the United States. And he, when he landed, he didn't speak English. You know, he spoke Filipino. And he worked in the fields in California for the first year, and then he heard about some opportunities to work in Alaska canneries. And so he decided that's what he wanted to do, and he came up to Alaska, and he worked in the salmon canneries up here for 44 years. So, in fact, we're talking about different cultures moving together, the Filipino culture in Alaska was was unique in itself and very interesting. My father was part of that.
Well, you know, I think it is very easy for those of us who live here on the edge of the Pacific here to imagine that the Americas were first settled via the oceans, because we have thousands of years of history of people traveling great distances mm-hmm. in these waters. The Tlingit traditions and the Filipino traditions, and we can imagine that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much, Clarence, for joining us this morning. We're out of time. Anything you'd like to share or add?
No, I just appreciate the opportunity to share the little that we have here in a little time, and thank you very much.
Well, thanks for joining us. Yeah. We've been speaking with Clarence Antioquia. He will be talking at 10:30 a.m. with the Paths Across the Pacific Conference about growing up in the village.